Yesterday we spoke with the PDP and amidst ongoing issues within the party. We heard from the PDP publicity secretary in River State and his position of how the party is handling or tackling those issues. Today we speak with the APC. The spokesperson for the APC governorship candidates campaign council in River State, Sobeya Eli, is with me in the studio. This conversation was supposed to have held last week, but time, we didn't have enough of it, so we couldn't really say anything and couldn't even really go into the issues as detailed as we wanted to. And we figured it's only best that we bring him back to have that conversation. A lot has been said. I wouldn't want to waste your time too much. Just go on social media. Go on Facebook or on Twitter, and you see the post we have up there for you. We need your honest review of it. Tell us what you think about the approach of the APC towards its campaign building up to the election. Many people have said the APC in River State seem to be one of the major oppositions. Of course, we have other opposition parties, the SDP, Labour Party, Accord Party, NRM, you name it, loads of them. But the APC has been seen to be the major opposition heading into the elections this year. And questions have been raised about its approach towards campaigns. People are saying, well, we haven't heard too much. Well, are you satisfied with the APC's campaign approach in the state so far? Don't forget that there are certain monies that need to be paid now if you have to campaign using certain facilities that belong to government. All of this we'll talk about, not also forgetting the APC presidential candidate, where many feel the focus has been largely on the presidential campaigns. Is the party at the national level not also interested in what happens in the state? We'll find out all of this. Let's get on to my guest, Sobeya Eli. Be part of it at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and Twitter. You get to watch, listen, and contribute on WhatsApp. You can also send in questions if you have any. 0809-030-6416. Mr. Eli, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrews. Thanks for having me. And good morning, Rivers people.
So cutting to the chase, we'll start off with the campaigns. I wouldn't want to talk about the presidential campaigns. We'll get to that later on. But then starting off here in the state, for the questions that's been raised, many people say, well, what's happening? We haven't heard too much about the APC, and elections are just about 40-something days away from them. Okay, for the governorship election, it's still in March, so you might want to say there's a bit of time. But one major issue you pointed out one time we had a conversation here in the studio was the court cases or litigations that the party has been facing and how it hindered your approach towards campaigns. As it stands, where is the party at with those litigations? Have all of them been resolved, or do we still have a few hanging?
Well, on litigations, which is a rather strange, very queer strategy of politicking by our opponents, the PDP, River State, will have the last hurdle to be cleared. On Monday yesterday, the Court of Appeal in Water Court took the last appeal on the disqualification of our candidate for governorship elections, Akinde Tohyinkol, MNI, and reserved judgments. That is talking about the issue of dual citizenship. That is the other case that's the spending. The other ones have been disposed of by the appeal courts. We do not know what have not been served any hearing notice if our opponents went to the Supreme
Appeal
Court.
The judgment.
But it would be very crazy. If you go there, they're only going to waste time, because all those judgments came by unanimous decisions of the appeal courts. And more often than not, in legal practice, you can't easily upturn a judgment that comes by a unanimous decision of the Court of Appeal. So, as a lawyer, I would advise my clients, when I have opportunity, you have a bad case, have a bad case. If the unanimous decision of appeal court is before you, you waste your time and money going to Supreme Court. So, we can safely say, we're good to go. We hope that within this week, at the most early next week, that judgment will hand it down.
So, at the moment, the only case in court would be that of dual citizenship. That's the only issue in court
That's already reserved for judgment, so we cannot even call it the Ole case yet. We're past that stage.
Okay.
Well, call us, come and have a judgment, and then it's good to go.
So in judgment, you're hoping that next week that will be done?
This week to next week.
Okay.
It's a pre-election matter and time's running.
All right. So. And that brings us to the campaigns, because now questions would be how your party would approach this. The PDP recently said it had paid 95 million. The publicity secretary was explaining yesterday that 95 million wasn't to cover all the local governments. It was just some facilities that they'll be using in some of the local governments. How do your party now seek, with the time spent, we know we don't have a lot of time at the moment, and you've spent quite a huge amount of it going back and forth in court. How is the party planning to do its campaigns? You have withdrawn your the protest that was planned against the executive orders. You're even supposed to go to court to withdraw that case. I mean, we had that conversation some time ago while you were here. So what's then the approach? How do you go about it? Is it that you're not going to use...
Andrew, let's not waste time on this. The PDP lied. And they paid 95 million to anybody. It's a fat lie.
How so?
And I hope that public secretary that came here showed you evidence.
Well, the commissioner for education showed proof of payment.
No. They did read that letter. They did read that letter that was exhibited.
Tell us, why do you think the PDP lied?
That letter is by no means what a man who is a professor will put a signature to as seal of authority. You know, it's a concocted letter, you know it. I took a first degree in that. I know what they call stylistics. When I read the script, I know what that's mumbo jumbo. Did you read it?
I wouldn't know if it's a lie or not.
This is serious business. We have to be very factual here.
The PDP tried
to hoodwink Rivers people that they paid what? Have you forgotten the Commissioner for Education is PDP? The local government chairman are PDP? So PDP paid what to who? They tried to concoct the tale. Now, if they said they paid
hold on,
the letter said they paid to a government account. The account, mm-hmm. was it exhibited? Did it say an account number of any branch of any bank? No. See, these are facts that we'll have to deal with. The PDP said to pull a wool over our eyes at Rivers people in this 21st century. That they paid, and you know, come on, are we talking about, is the PDP not aware? I don't have lawyers. That's what they call campaign financing as a cap. So the PDP comes to tell the world they paid 95 million for campaign venues. For what? For which election?
Does that exceed the campaign cap for governorship election?
Listen, it's not only governorship. So if you put all the candidates, for instance, they're going to have 50 candidates. Right? So for governor and deputy governor, they go together. That mm-hmm. is 48 to go.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3 senatorial candidates. You have 13 House of Representatives candidates and 32 senators. So you paid 95 million for who? We have to be specific about what we're doing here. You see, you can't bring this kind of tales on the table and expect the rest of people to buy it. First and foremost, it is in breach of the Electoral Act that you're trying to restrict campaigns in the states.
Then why did your party not go to court?
Why did court? Have you forgotten I've said it here? Why in the court they ambushed the matter in court by sneaking out to the House of Assembly to hurriedly pass a bill which captures some elements of the executive order 21 and 22, right? Those draconian orders. Now, we were in courts. Remember, the first step was even to ask the police to simply provide security mm-hmm. for a protest march, which is allowed by the Nigerian constitution. It's a right to have a civil protest. But so that we don't have hoodlums hijack the process. Somebody tells us APC went on the streets and there was a mayhem in the city of Port Harcourt. Will ask for police protection. The police commissioner, in his wisdom, declined access to proceed to court. Of course, it was a party in court. While we were in court, while the matter was still lease pendants, sub judice, our adversaries went to the House Assembly to pass a bill with the speed of light. Friday, by Monday, it was passed. So only 2 sittings. Friday, they took first and second readings, adjourned. On Monday morning, it was supposed to be committee stage, right? Where you have public hearings. Under that, and even bad some public rights, some human rights groups that were calling our attention. They were at the gate to access assembly. They were denied access. Under 35 minutes, they said they were done with public hearing and proceeded to pass the bill.
But it's not been signed.
Hold on. 2 Mondays have passed. If you consider the speed of light with which that bill was passed, you would have thought that probably the governor would have put his assent to it by now. 2 Mondays have passed. Since that bill was passed, Why is the governor not assenting to it? Now, we cannot challenge the assembly for doing this work, whether rightly or wrongly. The theory of sufficient powers allows them to do whatever they'll do. What we can challenge is the law, all right, that's been passed, that the judiciary should be called to come and interpret whether or not they're in
other words, are you insinuating that it's difficult for your party to keep that matter in court because it has not been signed into law?
What sense does it make when the subject matter you're trying to deal with in court as an executive order is now showing forth somewhere? So if the court gives judgments or orders, how would it bind those who are hiding under the assembly law? So you have to be strategic in this business. You know, a naked bird actually made tortoise in literature. As he said, they had learned to fly without perching in a twig. Mm. Since men have learned to shoot without missing. Our opponents think they're smart. If a matter is in court, even if there's no order of courts, the civilized approach would be that parties should maintain status quo antebellum. So you don't bring the same items that capture and accept the order we're challenging in court through another channel. You run to the assembly to pass a law and ask us to waste time in court. Now, even if the court finally gives judgment, all right,
mm-hmm.
it will not affect the assembly law, because the matters you complain about, the judgment will be quite particular about the issues you prayed, your release source. That's how the issues will be determined. So they try to be smart. We thought that the same speed with which they move that thing, they call another to the assembly to pass as law, be the same speed they'll pass.
But then now I made a point here,
and I cited relevant sections of the Electoral Act, which provides all the avenues for political parties to participate in terms of campaigning. And I said only the Commissioner of Police is empowered by law in the Electoral Act, if at all, to step in where two parties have a clash, as it were, where you have venue clash.
Because that brings me to the Commissioner of Police. Whoever would have to implement the executive order would be the police. We know that the IGP at one point has said that no party can stop anybody from campaigning anywhere.
The IGP spoke from the wisdom of the law.
Well, we also had the Commissioner who had said, well, that they were going to implement the executive order if anybody is not comfortable with it.
Now the question for you is,
how is your party handling this? What's now the next approach for you?
Let's not waste time on that issue. It's a distraction. Let's deal with the issues of campaign. What are we telling the rest of people? What do we have to offer? What we're going to do next is not a problem.
No, right? With regards to campaigns, because this will be affecting your campaigns.
No, it's not affecting the campaigns. They thought this affected the campaigns, but we have 1,001 ways to campaign. And we're talking to the reverse people.
All right, let's get on Facebook. So perhaps you understand, a few people have a few comments already on Facebook, and if you want to react to them regard to this conversation. Boki Tessia Donald says, APC campaign here in River State is unsatisfying. They've been silent since the election campaign started. The only party that's rocking the state is the Labour Party. So what is happening? That's a big question. I'm not the only person who's concerned people are wondering what's happening to one of the major oppositions in the state.
By your leave, let me read this to Boki. Is that responding, Boki?
That's Donald.
Donald.
Boki Donald. Boki Donald.
Well, I've said over here that, look, our opponents threw cases at us. It's only respectable. Self-respect guarantees that you would play the game by the rules. Others who are not in court can campaign openly, and they are not having an infraction of the law. Whatever it was that the enemy planned, the opponents planned against us, that took us to court, these issues are being handled one by one and almost done. Now, thank God for the timetable that we have now that the new Electoral Act. The rest of people already know our brand. And let me tell you something here. By your leave, let me just quote the very first page of the manifesto that we, Tonyeko, launched in this state. He said, look, there is so much disaffection in the land due to serious leadership flaws. Now, only humane and transformational leadership, such as we're offering, will unite us, reinstill sanity in governance, and bring prosperity to the people. Now, we believe we have the capacity to inspire confidence and rekindle patriotism in the populace, with your invaluable democratic mandates, River State will once again be a beacon of hope to the multitude of disillusioned citizens. That's why we pledge ourselves to serve you. It's a concise statement of fact of what we have in Rivers State. What our opponents don't want to see is where we'll sit down face to face with Rivers people and tell them a story vis-a-vis what they have done. And even they claim they have bridges constructed. Look, we belong to this state. Tony Cole, who is turning the year older tomorrow, was born in the year this state was created, January 11, 1967. So he has an asymmetrical, if you like, natural relationship, sympathetic relationship with the growth of this state. So what we talk about, what are you going to offer? Mm. Who are a part of this history? If you say, look, road construction, in this state, we are seeing Deaders Peef construct 95-kilometer roads. And in even those as old as that time was, I could bring evidence from Nigerian type publications here, or projects that the government puts on the public bond, everybody follows up. You see the status of the project completed, ongoing, you see, in that time, even under a military regime, government was accountable. What we have now is shadow boxing, where government exits completely the public procurement law of the state and does its own thing. All he has is the joker, Jens Becker has jobs. Go and do this, go and do that. No public bidding, no open bidding, nothing.
But that's not what the government has said about the government said the jobs were bidded for.
Did you see any publication anywhere? The law requires that you must post those publications in public. Okay. They must advertise the jobs and company must bid. And the preferred bidder would match the jobs awarded.
But it still brings us to a lot of other questions you just brought about you've just mentioned your governorship candidate. Allegations of fraud that were made that had the name of your governorship candidate and the former Minister of Transportation involved. We'll look at all of that when we come back from this commercial. And a few messages also on Facebook Live would address those when we return. APC is not on ground in River State, so we should stop blaming others for their woes. Jay Martins said that. We'll get all of this and more when we return after the commercial. Send your messages to what's on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And yes, we're back and we are live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Join the conversation. You get the opportunity to not just only listen, but watch us live on Facebook. So yes, get on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH. You can watch and listen. My guest is the spokesperson for the Rivers Governorship APC candidate campaign council, Sobaya Eli. And we're having conversations around all that concerns the APC, the court cases, their campaigns in the state, and some other allegations that have been laid against the candidate of their party, governorship candidate of the party, and the former transportation minister. Well, that was where we were before we went on the commercial. So before we continue, let me remind you that you can ask your questions and make your contributions using the number on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. The question we're asking you on Facebook, it's simple. Are you satisfied with the APC's campaign approach in the state so far? A few of you have dropped a few comments. I'll just take a few of them before we go on. Moses Offre says, the governor has been so jittery of the APC in the state. He has wasted so much Rivers money to massage his ego. No budget for 8 years, no accountability, no human capital development, no employment. That's the worst form of governance. We can't wait for Cole to come on board and organize the Rivers state. Okay. With the employment, many people say tertiary institutions have been employing people, so that's employment. The governor has also even said that the flyovers that they've been constructed has also generated employment of different kinds. People have been engaged. People have been making money. Businesses have been thriving. I know you want to respond to that, but that's the part of the government in all of... Okay, let's just get your view, because this is the part of the government.
Okay.
We're aware that the tertiary institutions employ people.
Andrews, can we be serious for once? Development is measurable, whether this is physical infrastructural developments or human capital developments.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first government of River State, for God's sake. The government led by Nyesom Wike is not the first government of Rivers State who have standards established since May 27, 1967. That's about 50 years ago. Nearly 56 years now.
Mm.
Those standards are the standards by which you hold subsequent governors accountable. That's how we benchmark what we're doing here. This is the only government that does shadow employment. They're like the secret budgets.
Yeah.
You don't see. You just hear. Yeah. The only physical thing we see in this state that this government has done, as far as concerned, as far as most honest rural people are concerned, are flyovers. Flyovers on one road. And after there was a lot of bedlam, hue and cry, decided to go to other parts of the state, and none of them was thought through. None is in the budget. None. I challenge any PDP man to come here and bring evidence. None of those flyovers, 12 or 13 of them, was ever in the budget.
I said
a challenge. I truly challenge. So it's not about allegation. They have it, they prove it. No budget captured any of those. All of them are knee-jerk reactions by the governor.
The flyovers.
All of them emotional. All of them emotional advertisements. They will just come to somewhere, we're going to build a flyover here. That's all. It does never send to the assembly. It does never pass in the budget. Not one. I said that challenge again. If they have any evidence that it was captured in any budget, in any financial year cycle, they should bring it. That said, what I bring about is a measure that pushed the government, a planned process. And let me tell you again what Tony Kola said he would do. All like them. On January 4th, he took a practical step. It was Adan Doni area, Adi Crew, Atlantic Ocean Beach. We'll thank the local and chairman in that area, my friend Russell Awotu, for organizing that event, right? For holiday seekers, fun lovers, and all that. It was a massive show of what potentials we have as a state. We saw feeds, live feeds from Kola, again on the same ocean front. The same Atlantic Ocean that runs all the way from Gori in Senegal down through all of the West Coast to Accra to Lagos down here. What are we doing with that? We're wasting that economic potential because we're doing what? Now, there's no roads that can take you down that way all these years. That's why people don't go there. Instead, reversible will travel from here to Lagos to go have beach experience. That will end with that government. That's why Tony Kola to go there himself will see what potential we have. It's Frank Kuguto also, he has an idea what we have in Kola. It's like what we have in Ikuru Town. You have the same thing in River 7 in Boni. Every reversible who knows this state knows what potential we have. We can move away from oil and gas to develop terrorism. And you can employ people, hotels to open, and people know, people can measure development factually. Not this, we have done this, we have done that. How many of those flyovers serve Rivers people? Have you been on a bar road most times? The traffic is more on the ground because most of the people of Rivers State transmit on the streets in public vehicles, taxis and buses. Most of them run on the roads. They're not going on the flyovers. Most of the vehicles that go on flyovers are private vehicles. So how many people are those buses, those flyovers serving? So on the ground, it's a fine traffic.
Well, it might not be serving people
because they were not built on felt needs.
But eventually,
they were not built on a felt need basis.
But then eventually, remember, the population is growing, economic activity is growing.
Can I land? Can I land? This was part of a government that envisioned a master plan that was drawn from interaction with Rivers people. Before Mechi began the monorail, and then, of course, the other forms, driving to the airport here, you're going to see some pillars that will carry the M1 ring roads. All right? So even if you're not going to do the monorail for whatever reason, all right? What's wrong with the ring roads that will break traffic away from the city capital, from the center?
The government pointed out, the governor was speaking about the monorail and said, the cost implication, and wasn't looked at whether it was going to influence
people positively. I said, when I came on board, they held summits. Interaction with Rivers people. There were summits in education, summit on agriculture, summits on transportation. These are facts. Which of you was chief of staff in that government? You cannot deny it.
But what about
those programs came from input by Rivers people about what they want, whether what they saw in education, in health, in agriculture, all those revolutions they saw that time were fruits of interaction with the Rivers people in those summits.
But what about the allegations of the state assets that were sold to your
government?
He mentioned the turbines that were sold.
Can we do away with this childish tantrums.
Well, these allegations were made.
Excuse me, responding to them is only ideal. Andrew, again, we are tired of saying one thing over and again. We're not children. The rest of people are mature, sophisticated people. Rotimi Amaechi left government May 29, 2015, right?
Mm-hmm. And he said, the governor also said that they were not, handover was not done.
Sorry. Please. We have grown that. We have challenged this governor time and again. You keep saying this, that. Rotimi Amaechi left government since May 29, 2015. And since coming under immunity conferred on governors and deputy governors of president and vice presidents, all right, in Section 3 of the Constitution, how come it's taking rocket science to put this into bed? What stopped? No, you went to courts. Finally, after all of the talk here and there, and you withdrew the charges. What are you? Now we're back. This destruction will not work. The rest people are too much for this. As for bringing Tony Cole into the picture, we'll laugh. There's a man called Tony Cole, as distinct and different from what they call Sahara Energy, which is a body, corporate, known to law, that can sue or be sued in its name. Basic elementary law. Go and read law of contract. Basic elementary law. That's what they call the doctrine of lifting the veil. Assuming the company commits a crime, as alleged, you lift the veil to see the directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then put them on trial. So why is Tony Cole the only one who is on trial? As I mean, they think that Sahara Energy did something wrong. This is pure dirty politics and we must stop it. Apply the doctrine of lifting the veil. When you lift the veil, you find the director of Sahara Energy. And if you think the company had defrauded the reverse government in that transaction, you go to court to them. You don't come and shout Tony Cole's name every day. To what? To do what? Embarrass him, to distract reverse people. We are too civilized for this. I said, these childish tantrums must stop. Running to court every day to do what? In any event, we hear they are back in court to do what? The one you withdrew, a file an appeal to challenge you. The appeal is there. So when the appeal is on, you want to try on that one in high court, you can't do that. It's an abuse of court process.
All right, let's open the phone lines. Let's open the phone lines. 0700923-0923. We'll come shortly to your party's presidential candidate, who also has been a major focus of conversation following the campaigns that's been going on recently from Edo State to other parts of the country. I think Adamawa State was one that also raised up a lot of conversation because the president was there. Let's hear from you. Are you satisfied with the APC's campaign approach in Rivers State so far? 0700923-0923. While we wait on the calls, take a few messages on Facebook Live. Hector Christopher Dokubo says, good morning, Sabaye. Please, I want to know the governorship candidates in Rivers State the APC presidential candidate is supporting between Tony Cole of the APC, Magnus Abia of the SDP, and Siminalayi Fubara of the PDP. Going by the current romance of the governor with the APC National and also relationship with Tinubu and Magnus, who do you think Tinubu will be supporting in the state? Well, I was going to come to this. The best message I came across now already brought us to this. This was the next I was going to come over because there's been conversations that, well, people say it's an open secret, but whether or not it is, you might tell us that the Minister of Transportation is not in good terms with the presidential candidate of your party, and Senator Magnus Abe, who was the candidate of the SDP while he was in the APC, had a good relationship with the presidential candidate of your party, which is now causing people to think, well, how is the party doing about this? And I was also going to ask you, we haven't really heard much about your party at the national level speaking on issues that concerns River State APC. So where is all of this heading, and what's the situation?
In very simple terms, except for people who, let me agree, those people who have those concerns have legitimate grounds to be concerned. It's politics, right?
Mm.
Good. They're used to certain things. And then people are here complaining that our campaign has not taken off in the states.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing us well. So why would they expect them to see us well at national level? We have issues to deal with domestically, in courts.
But shouldn't the national be also interested in resolving these issues?
No, I can't speak for the national, right? I must define my constitutional limit here. I have a job to do as spokesman for Rivers APC Campaign Council 2023, not National Campaign Council, right?
Mm.
So whatever is the reason why the national has not spoken. The question is, has the national come here to campaign yet? No. We had two dates. we're not comfortable with those 2 dates because we have issues to deal with in the party, with those court issues.
2 dates for the national to
yes.
come?
One was December 1, which Bayelsa had to take, and then, of course, December 19. Our date now is February 15.
For the national?
When the national comes here on February 15, we'll speak loud and clear, and Raspo will know this will stand, right?
Mm.
For those who are calculating relationships between Magnus Abe and Bola Ahmed Tinubu, our presidential candidate, again, what's wrong with having friends? As to speak right now, the SDP in this issue campaign about their presidential candidate. They have one.
Mm.
In this country, we've seen where parties do not have presidential candidates and adopt candidates of other parties. But now you have one to talk about him. If you cannot talk about him, for instance, if some weekend has a presidential candidate in PDP, you should talk about him. Any alliance outside of that is anti-party.
Is that not an anti-party your party would appreciate? Let's assume that
the governor of Rivers State would want to support your party's presidential candidate. Our party has standards.
So you would not accept...
Excuse me, let me land. We have high moral standards.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, asking them to support us so we'll be happy we're going to get votes is asking an arm robber to break a bank and bring money to church. And church celebrates our money.
So
Let me land. These are serious
working
matters.
Relationship.
Hold on, listen. Let me land. We have gotten to the point where party as a platform has taken a lot of challenge by politicians who are seeking self-interest. And as a country, we must stop that. The reason why our democracy is not growing is because we don't have ideologies and principles. Today, this man is in party A, tomorrow is in party B, tomorrow is in party C. All those jumping around must stop. So whether or not you're defecting, or not defecting, but you're staying to support your party, it's wrong. Call a dog his name.
Okay.
Now listen. We appreciate support for our party. Don't forget, the election is about the electorate, not political parties. The voters must not belong to political parties to become voters. Right? The people who are speaking to are Nigerians whose mandate to seek. And those Nigerians will give us a mandate based on what we have done. We don't need political traders to run with a name.
Okay.
We'll if anybody wants to do any business with a party, fine.
We'll come
but
back to all of that.
Rules.
Let's see if we can take 2 or 3 calls. Mufasa from NTA Road is on the line. Mufasa, good morning. Please, straight to the point.
Thank you very much. Quickly, let me greet the guest in the studio. You see, Andrew, you see that the guest is just speaking grammar because, to the best of my knowledge,
what's his name?
Mufasa.
Mufasa is my name. Executive order has not stopped any other political party from going about their campaign. And the guests will also agree with me that Ebonyi State is an APC state. There is an executive order guiding and regulating the election activity and campaign in that state. They are not talking about it. And lastly, Andrew, you see, the problem with APC is that APC River State is struggling to project and sell a candidate that is not popular. And election is about popularity, for crying out loud. There is nobody in the APC. They don't have the number. So how do you win an election without numbers? So they should come out with the truth and be sincere and open to Rivers people.
Okay, that's Mufasa.
All
right, let's just get to JJ quickly from Rumigbo and then perhaps you respond to both. JJ, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Go on.
Good morning to your guests in the studio.
Good morning, JJ.
I think I like his advice of telling the SDP to campaign for their own presidential candidate. While you're doing that, your people were sometimes here playing dangerous players so that your leader in River State can take over when something happens. I don't want to say because I know it will not happen. And you talked about budget. Was the monorail in any budget as at the time Amaechi was in government? Hello?
Go ahead.
Conclusively, people also have a right to association. So I don't think people that are jumping ship that you refer to as political whatever, they are saying that your party don't have a strategy to win election. The other time, Toyoko said he was begged. Why you have people like you, if you run for election for governorship, heaven go fall, so bye. Thank you very much.
All right, JJ, thank you very much. We have Frank from D-Line, but before we get on to Frank, you want to respond to...
Yeah, let me respond. For Mufasa, it's a shame that we're still in that backroom, darkroom, outdated cake politics. I speak in English. He was citing a boy instead. I thought he was citing a part of the electoral act that supports those executive orders. Whether it's done by the Rossi governor or done by a Boise governor, it's immaterial. It's unlawful, it's illegal. It's not because a Boise governor is in the APC today, it was in PDP.
Because the so they address some issues. In a Boise state, the governor even sanctioned the APC chairman in that state with regards to defiling the executive order. The question would
Listen, my response is simple, and I've made it quite clear. So whether it's done by APC governor or PDP governor is immaterial. It's inconsistent with the law. The organic law that governs elections in Nigeria is the Electoral Act. And gives every party liberty. That's why the IGP spoke the way he spoke. That's why the Director General of DSS spoke the way he spoke. National Security Advisor, rather, spoke the way he spoke. If they force their words, everybody comply. You don't bring things that are not captured by law. That's a result of self-help. And it's dangerous for democracy.
Okay.
Now, having said that, JT was referring to the money rate, whether it was a budget or not. I laugh. You see, they say, when you mention dry bones, the old man is not comfortable. So when I mentioned Poole move from party to party, he was no more comfortable. He went as far as alluding to the fact that party was praying for the death of who? Again, this sheer literacy. We will pray for the death of who? That Tinubu should die and make should do what? The electoral law is clear about what happens in the event of death of a candidate. The party will have a fresh election. It will not stop in sending the ticket because it came second. So who was praying for what? These people have been delusional. If a candidate resigns even on the ballot, the Electoral Act says the party will have a fresh primaries. In any way, the law says 90 days elections, that's when those can happen. After 90 days, you can't do that except by order of court. So when people sit down in their small cocoons, in their small beer parlor gossips, they should not bring it on radio.
Right, Frank.
I've gone far beyond that.
Frank now, from D-Line. Let's just stick Frank from D-Line because we're already running out of time. Frank, thank you very much for staying on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sammy Andrew.
Go on.
Good morning, my brother Eli.
Good morning.
I want to ask you, Mr. Eli, you have been speaking against we can do this, we can do that. And everybody said, as my brother Mufasa did mention, the governor, David Omahi, imposed the same executive order. Everyone did not fall. Why is it that the River State case is different? Is it not an APC state? So in the River State, yeah, anything we can do, we can have done this, we have done that. Even if we don't even have time to even win an election in the River State, I'm from my other work precisely. We are waiting for people like Asseta for them to come and tell us what they have done since the Azuma Fest as a APC government.
Okay.
Even if we said in 2014 that the PDP is a bad party, we cannot secure the country, corrupt country, this and that. And when they gave you people in Nigeria to govern, today what are we seeing? Hardship everywhere. And you want to rule about this? I don't think people are joking.
All right, Frank. Thank you very much. Well, let's get more from you. We have less than 2 minutes.
Frank, when next you come on radio, please be civil. I addressed that issue. If you're listening, I addressed the issue of executive orders. So coming to rehash it is like you're not paying attention in class. I don't know how you went to school. We'll pay attention. On the issue of what we have done, Frank, you bring somebody that is better than Asseta in Rivers West, they will talk. Asseta is the only candidate who has the viability and the physical presence, experience even. He has been to the National Assembly for 8 years in the House of Representatives in Green Chamber. So going to the Senate is just an upgrade. It's already known. It's known the rules of the game. It's known the Abuja politics. We're not taking the green horn there. Right? As for our candidates, what we're bringing on table, it's not about not one rookie who's unknown. They said they don't know Tony Cole. Tony Cole was nominated as a minister in these states. From this state under Jonathan in 2011, before Wike was sent there. They withdrew Tony Cole's name in 2011 for Wike to go there. That's the man he said, don't know. But I've been a minister for Wike, right? Around elections in 2019, before court stopped him, he said, you don't know him. Yeah, when it comes to allegations of so called business done with Rasa government, you say you know him. What kind of thing is that? See, we're here to simply tell Rivers people that we have the options to turn the corner. We have done things in the mundane peripheral level for too long. Basically, every institution of state has shut down. This man is counting for me what we have not done at national level. Go to the state secretariat. As small as River State is, we have maintained one city state under 8 years of the outgoing PDP government. All of the projects he has done, ask him from Ahuda West. What's the Ahuda West? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. For us to go into Ahuda West when we had those floods, we had some serious challenges. But the only road open is the East West Road. And once it came down, that's it. And they got away from that flood if no government vision comes in. Now, here we are. Go to the secretary complex. This government can't even maintain it. Civil servants are there. The salaries come as and when due, but what about the pensioners? What are they doing with them? Go to our schools. Go to our hospitals. These are basic things that affect the life of average rivers man. The Songhai farms, where are they? The Bugman fish farms, where are they? Those centers are employed people. They're all gone. What is the RSSDA that sent rivers people on scholarships abroad? So, this is what we're talking about.
Well,
so,
the government says scholarship is on at Pamo University.
Please.
Time will not allow us to get on. We're already out of time. Thank you very much, Ogbeni Eli, for your time, and have a great day.
Oh, thank you for having us. We're thanking Raspberry for the time. Please trust us with the mandate.
My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Hello, Port Harcourt is next.